Zone and Titans Radio with Mike Keith and Coach Mac Dave McGinnis. Our coverage on Sunday begins at noon from Arrowhead Stadium, but coverage throughout the morning leading up to that can be found right here with the Lee Company Countdown to Kickoff. We say hello to Blake Bedingfield, who joins us for his second visit this week. And it's time to scout Titans and Chiefs with the former Titan scout for 19 seasons. You can now read his work at paulkoharski.com. Blake, how are you?
I'm doing great.
How about this matchup? When you go back and you think of the Week 10 game between the Titans and the Chiefs and how that game played out, 35-32 was the final. We know about the block kicks and the bad snap, the fumble recovery for a touchdown, the strip sack. All of that combined plus the offensive numbers. Do you foresee a similar style game? Maybe not with all the craziness, but the big play mentality for both teams. Or do you think we'll see something different on Sunday?
No, I expect to see a lot of the same. If you look at the final statistics in that game and the high passing yardage by Kansas City and the amount of running plays that Derrick Henry was able to have success in, I think you're going to see a similar statistical breakdown toward the end of the game. But what you'll see is more of that running approach that you've seen the last 2 weeks from the Titans. They've made it no secret when they come out early in games and run the ball with Derrick Henry. I think that's going to be the case, moving forward in this game. But, that being said, I think there are opportunities in the passing game for the Titans. The way the Chiefs like to play their coverage on the outside really plays into the hands and the strengths of the Titans receivers. There's a lot of, cover one, which is a man coverage on the outside, and A.J. Brown and Corey Davis have more success against that type of coverage, and they've had more success since week 10 in the season as well.
Well, the Titans took their shot plays against Baltimore. They just didn't throw it that much, but they did early. You're saying they need more of that mentality this week against Kansas City based on the matchups they'll see opposite their wide receiving core.
I think those opportunities will be there. The cornerbacks on the Kansas City side are not near the level that the Ravens or even the Patriots had. There's opportunities to win downfield. There's opportunities to have those big chuck plays that really have helped the Titans, especially last week with the Ravens. But, it's one of those opportunities to take advantage of the run game that you have and the attention that the defense from the Chiefs side is going to have to pay attention to Derrick Henry and that run, that dynamic run game they've had.
Blake, when you talk about the opportunities in the passing game for the Titans, is there one receiver you're thinking about that could have more of an advantage over this secondary than the other, or is it just simply there's going to be opportunities for anyone who's out there?
I think it's, A.J. Brown has really separated himself as the number one receiver on the Titans team, and he has a favorable matchup depending really with no matter which corner he plays against, whether it's a Kendall Fuller who didn't play in the first matchup, who's probably their best corner overall, but they have an opportunity to match AJ up against him and run a lot of those inside slant routes, inside dig routes that he's had so much success. A lot of the crossing routes that they've had opportunities to get him on, and those over-the-top routes that he can catch and run after the catch. I think he can have a lot of success, especially with the linebackers on the inside. They play with two stacked linebackers, Damian Wilson and Anthony Hutchins, and they stack them on the inside, and their first responsibility in this game will be playing the run. Perfect opportunity to throw over top of that second level of the defense.
What allowed the Titans to get going in the previous matchup against Kansas City? 188 yards rushing. They had the long touchdown run from Derrick Henry, 68 yards for the score. And that was, for me, and I've mentioned this earlier this week, Blake, for me, that was the game where I thought the offensive line started to gel and turn a corner. They had won two of three games with Tannehill as the starting quarterback. But that, to me, was the game where everything came together.
I agree. I think that's really the opportunity. And not only that, but also Arthur Smith really staying patient with the run. They went down 10-0 early in that game. Had an opportunity to go down 14-0. One of the touchdowns was called back on a penalty. And so it was 10-0 against a high-scoring offense. But Arthur Smith was staying patient with what was really going to work for him. They did have the big pass to Raymond in that game that opened some things up, and I think they could go to that route again. But I really agree with you. I think the offensive line started to take over in that game. Chris Jones had some big plays, and he's injured right now. So if he's not at 100%, that's going to be a tough matchup for the Chiefs along that defensive front.
Jones with 9 sacks on the season, and he's good run and pass. How much do they move him around? It seems like he'll line up all over the place up front.
You know, he can. He's not only has great size, but he has the athleticism to match that size. He's a tough three-down defensive tackle in the league when he's healthy. He has the potential to shed blocks one-on-one. He's a real mismatch one-on-one. You have to double-team him or chip him or work the combo blocks to the second level on him. But he's one of those players that they can align along the front, whether it's a defensive end, defensive tackle. He can be on the shade, on the nose side as well, and be a mismatch versus a center. He's really a handful if he's healthy. And that calf injury is going to be a tough one to come back from. It's one of those injuries that along the defense, if you're a defensive lineman or offensive lineman, you continually have to push, anchor with your legs, and the calf is what's going to take the most strenuous part of that. So it's going to be a tough injury to come back from. If they're without him, they really lack the personnel along that defensive tackle front to be penetrators and alter the running path of Derrick Henry, which has shown defenses that can do that have had the most success against him. But teams that go in and just play a normal two-gap defense trying to control the offensive line gap control, that's not going to work versus this group.
You're saying without him in the lineup, that is a glaring point of attack for the opponent. It's a considerable drop-off in play?
No question. You have two defensive tackles in Derek Nande, who's strictly a two-gap run player. Mike Pinnell, who was inactive actually in the first game by surprise, will be active in this game. And he's a good run-down defender. But against this offensive line, they prey on those defensive lines that want to sit in and attack just trying to control gaps. They don't have the inside linebackers to run the alleys and get free as well. So they're kind of at a mismatch against this Titans running attack.
Coming up, more of a game preview with Blake Bedingfield here on the Midday 180. If you or someone you know is suffering with painful knees, shoulders, or other joint pain, regenerative cell therapy could be a dream come true. The same stem cell treatments that pro athletes around the world are using to get relief without surgery are now available at the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center in Franklin. With Dr. Gill and the Regenerative Cell Institute, you have an entire team of healthcare professionals. When you call 615-794-0800, put your pain in the hands of experience and say no to surgery. Get real permanent relief from painful knees, shoulders, or other joint pain without surgery. This regenerative treatment helps stop pain, reduce inflammation, and can actually help repair the damaged joint. So before you have painful knee, shoulder, or other joint replacement surgery, contact the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center and see if you're a good candidate for this amazing, safe, advanced, non-surgical procedure. Call 615-794-0800. $39 gets you an exam, x-rays, and a review of your findings. That's 615-794-0800 or visit them online at tnstemcell.com.
Right now at Wendy's.
Allow us to run through zone. It's even easier. Is he correct?
You know, he's somewhat correct. I think Tyreek Hill in himself is very difficult to cover man-to-man. And he has the ability, which is a unique ability, a rare ability, of getting up to his top speed off his first step. He can hit one step, and once he's into his second step, he is at full speed. He's got outstanding change of direction quickness. He has the ability to make really fast defenders miss in space. He is a matchup, man-to-man matchup nightmare. He really is, whether it's on short passes, deep passes, especially when he's running over the top of the formation or on crossing routes. He is a difficult man-to-man matchup. That's why most teams will try to either zone or bracket him, but they have other options when he is taken out of it from a schematic standpoint. That's when you get into the Travis Kelce and the Sammy Watkins and even the rookie Mecole Hardman, who is another speedster. But they have four receivers that can all get vertical on their routes and a tight end that can really stretch the middle of the field with Travis Kelce. So they are a tough matchup. That's why most teams want to play a zone against them. The Titans have had success with that zone coverage the last few weeks, especially with the Ravens, where they wanted to play the zone coverage and really had success of playing the soft zone and attacking the receivers on the outside when the ball was in the air, getting tight, being able to close on that coverage. They had a lot of success with that and had a lot of PBUs because of it.
So the goal there being, Blake, not allow anything over the top with the speed options with Hill and Hardeman, and then you're almost giving Kelce some of his yards because of that, because you can't give him too much attention because they will beat you over the top in man.
No question. You know, the Titans defense is strong enough to take away the run game without really paying a lot of attention. At this time, they're going to have the three defensive tackle look, which they weren't able to have in the first matchup because Jarrell Casey was inactive. So they're going to have that three defensive tackle look with Daquan Jones and Jeffrey Simmons and Jarrell Casey, and they can control the interior offensive line with just those three. Rashawn Evans will be very important in this game to take away outside runs. He's shown the speed and ability to track the running backs when they try to get outside. I think the key matchup will be in this game is Pat Mahomes with his feet and legs. In the first matchup, he was coming back off the dislocated kneecap and had zero rushing attempts. Since then, he has rushed 33 times for 189 yards and had a lot of success when teams play a deeper zone and playing down the field to take away the vertical route. He's getting 6 yards a carry every time. So someone is going to have to pay attention to Pat Mahomes, but as soon as you do that, you're going to have to loosen up the coverage on some of those dynamic playmakers. There's that give and take they have, but with Mahomes' ability to not only distribute the ball downfield on the move, but have the ability to run with his legs, Titans are going to have to pay attention to the quarterback.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up on that. How have teams spied him? How do you think the Titans might spy him? And then how different is defending him when he's healthy compared to how they defended him when he still threw for the most yards ever in Nissan Stadium when he was coming back from that knee?
It's very difficult to spy a Pat Mahomes because as soon as you take a linebacker, which Houston tried to do it a few times with Zach Cunningham, the inside linebacker that has really good speed, they opened up the middle of the field for Travis Kelce and a couple of shots to Derek Robinson, which he dropped. But there were some opportunities there to take advantage of keeping an eye on Pat Mahomes as he escapes in and out of the pocket. He's got really good speed. He's got the ability to distribute the ball, whether he's on the move to the right or the left or stepping up in the pocket. He has that unique ability to change his arm angles as he throws. He can throw through any window that's available. He's got a flick of the wrist ability to throw with velocity. So he can hit spots that aren't open to a lot of quarterbacks. He's got the velocity in his arm to really drive the ball in that intermediate range. So, you know, that's some unique traits. That's what makes him a great quarterback. But the feet and the ability to scramble and get extra is something that the defense is going to have to pay attention to, but you can't spend all your time worrying about Pat Mahomes' run. You've got to cover these other options, and that's why he's had success running the ball after the Titans game once his knee got healthy.
How is the offensive line in front of him?
You know, I think it's average overall, even below average at times. You know, Eric Fisher's the left tackle. He's a solid pass protector, but not anything where he, you know, get the Pro Bowl or an All-Pro type thing. The interior offensive line, I think, is below average overall. They're big at the guard, but they're big and stiff. The pass rushers that the Titans have along the defensive front, especially Jarrell Casey, can really take advantage of these big, tall, stiff guards. The center's just an average player overall, and Mitchell Schwartz is probably their most consistent blocker. He's good in the run game and solid in pass protection. He's a player that doesn't need a lot of help on the outside unless they move a Harold Landry that has that outside speed rush. Harold Landry's kind of been absent for the last month or so, and he needs to really pick up his pass rush game to have an impact in this game.
Blake Bedingfield with us on the Midday 180.
Does the scouting community buy the idea, the way the fan community and the reporting community does, that Andy Reid is going to blow it in the playoffs, that he'll ultimately blow it if you keep it close, that he'll make a bad clock management decision, that he'll make a bad analytic decision?
You know, it seems to be the case with him, and he has enough history to prove that that's the case, and that's something that continues to come up. Whether it comes up in Andy Reid's mind now to question himself on making moves, that's what happens when you end up having a lot of success, you get cocky, and if you don't have success and you have issues with that, you end up starting to question yourself. Can he keep that from being an issue in this game? I think this game's going to be close, and he's probably going to have to face a big decision to make, whether it's in the middle of a game. It could be a big change of possession or a momentum play. And can he avoid that? I think that's important to look for in this game. It happened in the Ravens game last week with that 4th-and-1 after the Titans went up 7-0. And when they didn't get the 4th down call, they immediately were down 14-0. Even though that was early in the game, that was a pivotal turning point for the remainder of the game.
Blake, last week, Kamale Correa, we saw Dane Cruikshank, Amani Hooker all play big roles in small snaps overall against the Ravens. Who are some of the role players you're looking for this week in the matchup against Kansas City and how you think some guys will have the opportunity to step up in a big way?
You know, I think a very important player will be Kenny Vaccaro. Kenny's really upped his game the last few weeks. He's going to be responsible for not only the run game and being in the box at times, being a blitzer to put pressure on Mahomes and getting him out of his comfort level and not allowing him to sit in the pocket. But he's also going to have some Travis Kelce responsibilities as well. I think Kevin Byard will too, but Kenny Vaccaro is going to be a big player in this game. I think Logan Ryan, again, it will be a big player in this game. He's going to need to cover faster receivers, which is really not into his skill set. He's better at covering route runners and players that work the intermediate levels of the defense, not the vertical stretch guys. So I think Logan, which you love Logan to be in that spot, but Logan and Kenny Vaccaro are going to be two very important players. But don't discount what Tremaine Brock and Adoree Jackson need to do in this game. Adoree Jackson is going to have to cover Tyreek Hill and match his speed. But Tremaine Brock is going to have to continue to play discipline, which I think he's done a good job of the last 2 weeks.
Titans O-line did a fine job in the limited amount of time that Tannehill was asked to drop back against a blitzing Baltimore defense. What do you expect in passing situations from the Chiefs, in particular Frank Clark, who was brought in for those situations?
You know, Frank Clark is a pass rusher first. He's a little bit of a liability in the run game. He tends to be a little bit of a freelancer. He gets out of his gap at times, but as a pass rusher, he's got the ability to get the outside edge with his speed, and he can also work an inside move too. Those have been issues for Jack Conklin at times, especially if he guesses wrong. Jack needs to be right with his technique and be sound with his fundamentals on his pass protection to win. And at times he will guess wrong, especially on a player with an outside speed rush. So I think that, you know, that matchup is going to be very important, but he's an easy chip. He's an easy guy to get a hand on, whether it's an extra tight end or the running back that's working out in the flat. He can get a chip on Frank Clark. If Chris Jones is not in there to disrupt in the middle of the defense, it's a little bit easier to take away that outside rush.
I know this, I think we all agree, this is the best collection of offensive talent in the league, speaking of the Chiefs, but collectively, team for team, how good of a game should this be for the AFC title?
You know, I think this is going to be, it's such a contrast in styles of what you're going to see with the passing attack of the Chiefs and the running game of the Titans, but I think it really has a chance to be a compelling matchup just because of the ability for the Titans to run the ball. Control the clock, shorten the game, limit offensive possessions by the opposing offense, which will put pressure on Pat Mahomes to want to make big plays. Big plays can turn into big scores, like it was in the Texans game, or it can turn into turnovers at times, like the Ravens did versus the Titans. So it'll really be a good matchup to see what happens in this game, especially on the Chiefs' offensive side. If they can stay patient, continue to drive the field with their playmakers, allow one of them to make a big play, and the Titans are able to run the football and control the clock and shorten game.
Blake Bedingfield, you can read his work at paulkuharski.com. Blake, thank you as always. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you.
Blake Bedingfield with the Game Scout for the Titans and the Chiefs. He's presented by PAI Medical. At PAI Medical, all they do is hair, and they're the very best at it. Visit WeGrowHair.com or call 615-376-6010, 6010, 376-6010 to get their expert opinion. Midday 180.
When we come back, Mike Vrabel, critical of his work and another coach's work in Baltimore. Two people that need to be better on Sunday in Kansas City. Next.
This is 104.5 The Zone.
Hey, it's Brent.